We'll rocket our way to the first rain report of the summer in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. One of ham radio's most successful outreach programs has been ARIS. E. Mike McArdle, KC8YLD, AMSAT Vice President for Educational Relations, talked about resources in the classroom that can be applied to introducing schoolchildren to ham radio's presence in space. This is an excerpt of that 2014 Dayton Hamvention talk.
I'm the Vice President for Educational Relations for AMSAT, and AMSAT is an educational organization that was founded in 1969. Our purpose is to promote space education, and one of the ways we do this is by building satellites to put them into space. This isn't something new to us. In fact, way back when, in 1976, we were making educational materials for AO7, the satellite, and that satellite's still up, and I was reviewing those materials the other day, and they're still pertinent for the satellites that are up now. Why are we involved in education? Well, more recently, we're finding out that to get our ride to space, we need to engage with colleges and universities. We've been successful with what we've done, so now they can make money off of it. So now we can't afford to send something in space. So combining what we're doing with colleges and universities to help them get their scientific experiments into space, we're able to get launches to have our transponders put up into space. We have a very, very strong educational collaboration with the ARRL and with NASA. And because of the big names of ARRL and NASA, sometimes I don't think we get quite the credit that we deserve. We're kind of the hidden resource in all of this, but we are an equal partner with the other two. Okay, and our energy and our time and everything, an ARIS contact doesn't happen if it isn't for the people in the ARIS community, which are mostly made up of people who are involved with AMSAT. So kind of keep that in mind. We want to inspire the next generation of amateur radio and space enthusiasts. I grew up when we were going to the moon, and that was very exciting. And I don't think we have as many goals. I think that may have been the last time this country may have dreamed as a country together. That captured everybody's imagination, and I think we need the same type of tools to do that here. STEM education is very critical to the advancement of engineering and scientists of the future, and we're very, very deeply involved with coming up with ideas to work with that. And again, we mentioned the educational coordination among NASA, ARRL, and AMSAT. We're beginning to coordinate some of our activities so that we know what each other are doing, so we're not spinning the wheel a dozen different ways, and that we can use each other's resources. I want to basically say a little bit about engaging and inspiring on this. How do we inspire? Be enthusiastic. Never, ever, ever, ever underestimate the power and the magic of your enthusiasm. Story. I'm 5 years old. My dad is excited out of his gill. He drags us out of the house up on top of a hilltop and says, "Now wait and look. Just look. Look at the sky and look and see if you see the little light going across the sky." I did not see Sputnik that night. My dad did. But that moment is so ingrained in my head and my body and my soul because of his enthusiasm. We inspire and engage by building fresh ideas, make activities fun, introduce real problems. Another story. My seventh grade teacher walks into class and he throws down a bundle of shingles on the floor. He goes, "I have to re-roof my house. I don't know how many of these we have to buy. Can you guys help me out as you get time?" We couldn't wait to find out, well, how many bundles are in the package and how's the size of his roof? So we started asking all these questions. Whenever you're with a student or a child and they start asking more questions than you ask them, they are learning. That's paramount. Guide their discovery. Let them kind of take it where you go. You've got to be flexible with that. Be relevant. Make it what you're doing. Validate their outcomes, failures, and successes. Listen to their interest. Use models and demos to inspire as many materials as possible. I used to be a phys ed teacher. It got a whole lot better when I finally convinced people that I needed 30 balls if I have 30 kids in class. 2 balls with 30 kids in class just doesn't make it. You've got to get as many people involved as possible. Self-discovery and correction are the highest order of learning. The more senses you involve, the greater the learning. Don't underestimate the power of the smell of solder. It's great. Do it yourself first. Never embark on something unless you've done it before. It takes time, I know. It takes commitment, I know. But it's going to come across more real. Please allow failure. Every major scientific discovery didn't come on the first try. They learned from their failures. And a lot of neat stuff that came out of failures were complete successes because, gee, I didn't expect that. FunCube is a good example. It's doing all kind of weird things up there in the sky. The spin rate's slowing down. At one time, it was spinning up. They're getting kind of some weird data from it, and people are beginning to take new looks at it. Okay, and this was a satellite that isn't a commercial satellite. It was put up by the UK for educational. And then adapt. If something goes wrong, make the best of it. Find out what went wrong with it, and then continue from there. Educational partnerships in the past, we've worked with Pacificon to do an ARIS contact and some lounge activities. We've worked with other groups. We'll work with your group if you want to help you get some of these materials either built for your use or to borrow ours. We coordinate with a selection and technical support for ARIS contacts. We support STEM development of lesson plans in collaboration with the ARRL, especially their education technology program, and with NASA. We collaborate with colleges and universities to get their experiments in space aboard our satellites. And we coordinate activities with the AMSAT field operations because we think it all ties in together. Upcoming events, we're still working on building a stronger relationship with NASA ARRL. We're getting ready to launch a satellite, Fox, in 2015. RADFX is going to go up maybe even before then. We haven't heard on that one yet. Fun cubes are kind of the thing of the future that are going on. We're doing a lot of work and experimentation with that.
You're listening to a 2014 Dayton Hamvention Talk by E. Mike McArdle, KC8YLD, AMSAT Vice President for Educational Relations, talking about the tools one can use to introduce school kids in ham radio's presence in space. We'll conclude our excerpt from his talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, hoping you'll check out a local ham radio club on Field Day coming June 27th and 28th.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
ARIS. If you want an ARIS contact, you got to apply. How do I do that? Well, you have to take the first step. Okay, first step's not hard. Do you want a direct contact? Do you want a telebridge contact? You have to have kind of an idea what you're going to get there. Complete the application form. You need to know how you're going to integrate this into your classroom curriculum. Involve as many grades as you can, and obtain as much media coverage as possible. NASA loves coverage. So if you can show you're going to have a large turnout, or it's going to hit a lot of students, and you're going to get a lot of media support, it increases your chances. When you fill out the application, you should email it in. That's the preferred method of submitting it, and the address is easy, ARIS@ARRL.org. Yes, ARRL processes the applications. Random contacts. Sometimes, not often, astronauts use the amateur space station for recreational use. What a trip that is to actually get them when they're talking. We're going through a period of where there won't be any licensed operators on board for a short while, and their time restraints up there have been things, but they are going to come back up again this summer. Default mode for the amateur radio on board the International Space Station is an APRS packet mode. Simple text messages can be sent through that. You can do APRS messages on that. You can send packet to send commands to robots through that. And we're working on a thing called Maria, which would allow to do that. Keep in mind that sometimes listening is as important as actually doing a two-way. So you have to keep that in mind. And like I said, we're brainstorming and experimenting with ways to expand ARIS to include packet radio activities because that's the mode it's most often in. Educational resources, ARRL has a bundle of them. They're amateur radio and the classroom resources. There's a curriculum guide. There's lesson ideas ARRL has out. They're not all related to space, but a great number of them are. ARRL also offers educational technology program grants. Okay, you might want to look into that to get your school some equipment, radio equipment, et cetera. They sponsor the Teachers Institute. If you're a teacher and you're interested in that, please contact Mark Spencer. Booked for 2014, but you know you have 2015 coming up. Here's a great opportunity for you to get hands-on experience, the do-it-yourself aspect of it. Come home to your school with equipment that will work, and with ideas to expand on that. So keep that in mind. We have a listserv bulletin board that you can join. It's a grassroots effort, and this next thing's ready to go, but we need participants, and that's the AMSAT EDU listserv. Basically, what we want to use it for is have teachers tell us how they're using space and ham radio in the classroom. And through this, you can kind of work out some of your problems. You can get support. There's the ARIS community is also monitoring this. You'll see announcements. Dave Jordan sends out an announcement when ARIS is doing a contact with the International Space Station. So he kind of keeps you up on board on that. And don't underestimate the ability of listening to a contact when it's going over the United States. I did this one day. I ran out my parking lot. I worked at a small college in Central Ohio, and I was listening to an ARIS contact. Next thing I know, I get 15 college students going, "What's going on? What's going on?" So I was telling, I'm hearing the space station. We can't hear the questions, but I get the questions here. Before I was done, I had like 20 kids standing around, and they were actually, a couple of them applauded when it got done, which was really kind of exciting. I just did this because I wanted to listen to it. I wasn't expecting anybody else to do that. So when you set up, be ready for that type of activity to kind of come up on it. Educational resources. Here's a new Getting Started guide for 2014, if you're interested in the satellites. A guy, Sandy Antunes, I believe, wrote three books called Building a Satellite Yourself. He's built a CanSat that's called Calliope that I think he has a ride in space for it, but he talks about some of the ways that he pre-tested his stuff using stuff that you can find around the house and from Lowe's and that type of thing. And there's also one on managing remote sensors for environmental thing, which gets into satellite payload. How to make your little vacuum chamber to test something or a shake thing to help do a satellite. And that might be an interesting thing to bring into the classroom. Mark Spencer's PIC programming is another great resource. Other satellite teaching resources that we have that are functional. One is a satellite antenna rotor simulator that costs a couple hundred dollars as opposed to $800 to $1,500 that'll move an arrow or an elk antenna. We have a CubeSat simulator, which has the size and weight of a CubeSat, and it sends out telemetry that you can actually use live data in your classroom. Okay, live data is always better than what you get out of a book. If you want to study satellite wobble, he's made a simulator for that. Managing satellite power is a study in maximum PowerPoint tracking. He has a simulator for that. Maria, the Mars lander, is really a fantastic idea. He and Matt Severns kind of put this together. They use a Bobot robot, and they learned to program it to do things that robots do. It's a little car type thing. And then they came up with the idea of sending an APRS packet that has an encoded message on it that goes to the robot and it moves on that. And then they came up with the idea, well, gee, if I can do it from my radio in a classroom, I can do it from a digipeater to another school across the state. If I can do that, then I can actually send a signal to the International Space Station and run a robot across the country. And they actually did this between Connecticut and Michigan. They moved this robot by sending a line of code that's about that long. This is another great tool that we're working on to kind of diversify what we may be able to do. FunCube. If you don't know about FunCube, learn about FunCube. FunCube is fun. It's very scientific. The UK put up their own experiment that's geared toward a science experiment that they do in all their classrooms. It'd be great if we had something like that we could focus on one thing. But there's a lot that we're learning from that we're hoping to employ into other satellites again. He also has some things on studying satellite rotation. So very simple tools that you make out of CDs and stuff like that.
The thoughts of E. Mike McArdle, KC8YLD. AMSAT Vice President for Educational Relations, excerpted from his 2014 Dayton Hamvention talk during the Instructors Forum. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73. This is the Rain Report. www.therainreport.com